VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we've got a lot of information to unpack on Crosstalk today. It's a news roundup day, and we thank you for joining us. We're going to delve right into it here, friends, because there's a lot that's taken place here in our nation, and certainly it should burden us for this nation as to be in prayer for our nation, but also in action for our nation as well, such as action involved with the Equality Act, so-called. As you know, this did pass the House of Representatives. We reported this some days ago. But what's interesting is some of the things that are happening as a result of this. Now, keep in mind that the House held no committee hearings on this whatsoever. They took it right to the floor. They passed it on the floor. And then they messaged it over to the Senate. Guess what? The Senate has done the same thing. They have totally avoided the hearing process. No committee hearings on this whatsoever. It's going to be going to the Senate floor. We don't know when the date is as of yet, but it is coming soon to the Senate floor. Keep in mind, President Biden pledged to have this passed within the first 100 days of office. It is critically important for you to be in contact with your two U.S. senators pertaining to this matter. Now, I want us to say all that to say this. Earlier this week, we received from Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel a release as a bride had a very shocking experience that will become common under the Equality Act. A young bride-to-be, referred to herein as Anne, that's to protect her privacy, recently experienced the reality of what would be commonplace with the Equality Act. Anne contacted Liberty Counsel for legal assistance after she went with her mother and sister to a bridal store to try on wedding gowns. She called and booked an appointment with a salesperson. When Anne arrived, the salesperson was wearing a COVID mask, dress, tights, and heels. The salesperson proceeded to help Anne in the dressing room, touching private areas of her body while helping her in and out of the wedding dresses. Then Anne's sister and mother pulled her aside and notified her that the salesperson was a man. Anne had never undressed in front of a man and felt violated and deceived by the bridal store. Anne's fiancé later went to the store and confronted the owner, who defended the employee and said she was required by law to treat the men as if he was a woman. In 2018, Liberty Counsel represented Mrs. H., who encountered a man standing in the women's locker room in a Planet Fitness in Florida. The man, dressed in gray sweatpants and a tank top, was facing the mirror pretending to apply makeup. When Mrs. H., a survivor of a previous violent rape attempt, needed to use the restroom, politely asked him to leave. Instead, he smirked and watched her in the mirror in which she had full view. The Planet Fitness staff permitted him to monopolize the women's locker room and impede Mrs. H.'s rightful use of it. When Mrs. H. complained to the staff, her membership was revoked. Folks, this is what the Equality Act is all about, H.R. 5. And if this passes, these kind of things will be commonplace all across this nation. You may contact your members of Congress at this phone number, 202-224-3121. That's to the U.S. Senate, 202-224-3121. You may also find their direct numbers at the Senate.gov website, and click on senators, and you'll find all the individual numbers for your senators. Now, there's some more on this issue, because this went before the House as well. It went before the House Committee, and we know that there was a debate that was taking place on the floor of the House. Matter of fact, I'm going to play an audio clip here of State Representative Gregory Stubbe. He's a Republican from Florida who got on the floor and boldly defended God's created order on the House floor, warned of the consequences for rebellion against that order. Now, I'm not going to be able to air you give his full speech to you, but you're going to hear a portion. You're going to get a flavor of what he was saying on the floor. At one time, there was some commotion on the floor, and the chair stopped the proceedings, called for order, and then he continued on. When he was finished with his speech, you're going to be hearing Jerry Nadler getting up and saying, Mr. Stubbe, whatever any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. Let's listen in to, first of all, Representative Gregory Stubbe of Florida.
It's not clothing or personal style that offends God, but rather the use of one's appearance to act out or take on a sexual identity different from the one biologically assigned by God at birth. In his wisdom, God intentionally made each individual uniquely either male or female. When men or women claim to be able to choose their own sexual identity, they are making a statement that God did not know what he was doing when he created them. I'm going to quote directly from Dr. Tony Evans' commentary Bible on this passage of Scripture. Men and women equally share in bearing the image of God, but he has designed them to be distinct from and complementary toward one another. The gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences.
Gentlemen will suspend. The House will be in order. Gentlemen may continue.
I'm going to read that line again. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. And I think we are seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today. And this bill speaks directly against what is laid out in Scripture. Our government, through this bill, is going to redefine what a woman is and what a man is. It can be anyone who identifies in that gender.
And now here is Jerry Nadler.
Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Now, folks, did you hear that? Now, again, we didn't play the full comments. He did not interrupt his speech. He waited and he was done. But as soon as Gregory Stubbe finished, we had Representative Jerry Nadler of New York, who went to his feet to express that Congress has no interest in God. Listen again to what he had to say.
Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress.
Well, he may be right. It's not a concern of this Congress, and it's sad that it is not a concern of this Congress, because we have certainly, certainly rejected God, and that is so evident on what, you know, the decision that was made by this ruling. What would Jerry Nadler say of George Washington, who said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And he goes on there as well. George Washington, from his lips, founding father. Jerry Nadler is not one of those founding fathers. And what's going on, folks, is so disturbing. It is so disturbing what is taking place. This week, the word came out from Bethany Christian Services, and I'm looking at a news report here from charismanews.com. Bethany Christian Services, they're the country's largest Protestant adoption and foster care agency that will now begin serving LGBTQ couples, a significant change for the evangelical outfit and a sign of the growing cultural shift. Bethany, which is based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 32 states, they have offices, announced the change in an email to employees this past Monday, March 1st. Its board of directors approved the policy change back in January after nearly a decade of internal discussion. An agency spokesperson said it had already been working with LGBTQ families in about 12 states. Quote, this decision implements consistent, inclusive practices for LGBTQ families across our organization, said Nate Bolt, Bethany's senior vice president of public and government affairs. We've had a patchwork approach for the last few years. You know what? They're the ones that developed their own patchwork state of affairs with this. They're the ones that had a patchwork approach. In 2018, City of Philadelphia suspended contracts with Bethany for a period of time. The agency then decided to change its policy in Philadelphia and serve LGBTQ couples, placing children in the homes of homosexual couples, lesbian couples, transgender couple, LGBTQ. The Trump administration briefly lifted the rule that barred adoption and foster care agencies and other social service providers from receiving taxpayer funding from the Department of Health and Human Services while refusing to serve people based on religion, sexual orientation, gender identity. But those rules will, quote, likely revert back under the Biden administration. Likely will revert. So there's a case, Fulton versus Philadelphia. Supreme Court is expected to rule later this year on whether religious child placement agencies can discriminate against LGBTQ couples. In the case, the city of Philadelphia demanded that Catholic Social Services comply with its requirements that prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. When the agency refused to do so, the city opted not to renew the contract. Catholic Social Services then sued. Faith in Christ is at the core of our mission, said Bethany Christian Services, Bolt, the representative, but we are not claiming a position on the various doctrinal issues about which Christians may disagree. Folks, that's outrageous. We're not going to claim a position on the various doctrinal issues about which Christians may disagree. What does the Bible say? I guess it doesn't matter, because as the story goes on, it says this. In making its decision, Bethany commissioned Barna Group, a Christian polling firm, to ferret out the views of Christians about LGBTQ adoptions. Barna found 55% of Christians said either that sexual preference should not determine who can foster or adopt, or that it was better for children to be in an LGBTQ home than in foster care. So, what do? We conduct a poll. Folks, whatever happened to Thus Saith the Lord? Here's a statement from Bethany. We acknowledge that discussions about doctrine are important, but our sole job is to determine if a family can provide a safe, stable environment for children. Safe, stable environment. Unlike many other children and family welfare organizations, Bethany is committed to partnering with churches to find as many families for vulnerable children as possible, and we seek to place children with families that share our mission. For us to carry out our mission, we are building a broad coalition of Christians, finding families and resources for children in the greatest need. The people we serve deserve to know that they are worthy of being safe, loved, and connected. The need is great, so we're taking an all-hands-on-deck approach. We believe that Christians with diverse beliefs can unify around our mission of demonstrating the love and compassion of Jesus. It's an ambitious mission, and we can only accomplish it together. The international agency said it will begin training all its employees, including those at locations that have not worked with gay couples. You know who's singing and dancing in the street? The Human Rights Campaign. Their director, their president, Alfonso David, on Bethany Christian Services, sent out a tweet saying, quote, "It is the right thing to do and aligns with the Christian value of protecting children. Every child should have the opportunity to be a part of a loving family unit." That's the activist group Human Rights Campaign applauding what's going on with Bethany Christian Services, in which they have abandoned the core teaching of Scripture as it relates to this issue of what marriage is and what male and female is through their decision-making and their placements. If you'd like to reach out to Bethany Christian Services, their global headquarters, their number is 1-800-238-4269. That's 800-238-4269. You'll also can find their many, many state offices through their website at bethany.org. We're up against a break. I'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are we making any progress with a creationist view of the unborn?
Yes, it seems we are, Chris, although there's positive and negative steps being taken. More and more people are being educated on the personhood of the unborn child and the need to protect it. Even efforts to clone humans are helping in the sense that there's much scientific evidence now for the unique personhood of the fertilized egg. Unfortunately, this doesn't always carry the day with legislatures and judges, for they often rule that such a person has no individual rights and can be aborted. We yearn for a day when even the courts go back to Genesis for their thinking.
Thank you, Dr. John.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Many are outraged at the decisions made by Bethany Christian Services to compromise in this regard and to capitulate. You know, what's interesting as well is this is where the Boy Scouts were some years ago. They had Supreme Court protection at that time. Here and now, we have a case pending at the Supreme Court, but the Boy Scouts just gave way. And look where they are now today. Look where they are today. Also, I mean, then there's this California judge as well, allowing three men to be listed as the legal parents of two children. They are a throuple, three homosexual men in a throuple named as legal parents to two children. Bethany, are you going to do that too? It's not just Bethany. We received word, this is from 11alive.com, television station out of Georgia. In Kennesaw, Georgia, a Kennesaw church was kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention. The convention's official news service announced Tuesday of this week over what it termed affirming homosexuality. This is a Town View Baptist Church, has now been disfellowshipped from the convention, bringing in homosexuals into membership of the church. Also, we find from ChristianNews.net, a disturbing video has surfaced online, has many raising concerns over the sexualization of children by those who are pushing a homosexual agenda. It's now a viral video, a child sitting on the lap of a woman reading through a book. It's called The Gay BCs. And you see this little toddler, sadly, memorizing what each letter of the alphabet is, but it's all in homosexual terms. And so you have this little preschool child talking about B is for bi. The boy states C is for coming out. I is for intersex. L for lesbian. Q for queer. On and on through the entire alphabet. Video was shared by a blogger who cited that the LGBT left is brainwashing children. Townhall.com, under a new law, transgender youth in Alabama could not be treated with puberty blockers, hormone therapy, or surgery. The state Senate voted to make the treatment a felony on Tuesday. Senators voted 23-4 to approve the measure dubbed as the Vulnerable Child Compassion and Protection Act. Sponsored by a Republican senator, the bill now heads to the state House, which already approved a companion bill, but it would make it a felony for medical professionals to treat transgender minors under the age of 19. Violators could face up to 10 years in prison or a $15,000 fine. Alabama would be the first such state to pass a bill like this. We also have Tennessee that is looking at Tennessee, among other states, putting forth legislation to protect girls' sports from males who claim to be females. Let's get on to some other news here today. Also from Congressman Mark Green, as he writes for townhall.com, H.R. 1 for the People Act, he said, is a blatant attempt by Speaker Pelosi and Democrats to concentrate power in the hands of the federal government. H.R. 1 nationalizes bad election laws, stripping the states of the right to run their own elections, expands mail-in voting, removes the requirement for a witness signature on absentee ballots, and prohibits voter ID laws. It also allows residents to vote in any precinct and forces states to adopt same-day voter registration. By placing spending caps on all organizations seeking to influence the outcome of an election, and by broadening the definition of an election-related communication, H.R. 1 severely limits engagement by citizens and organizations. The Heritage Foundation also points out that it would seize the authority of states to regulate voter registration and the voting process by forcing states to implement early voting, automatic voter registration, same-day registration, online voter registration, and no-fault absentee ballots. It would require states to count ballots cast by voters outside of their assigned precincts, mandate no-fault mandate no-fault absentee ballots, would ban witness signatures or notarization requirements for absentee ballots, force states to accept absentee ballots received up to 10 days after Election Day, as long as they're postmarked by Election Day, and require states to allow harvesting. It would prevent election officials from checking the eligibility and qualification of voters and removing ineligible voters. It would ban state voter ID laws, would require states to restore the ability of felons to vote the moment they are out of prison, regardless of uncompleted parole, probation, or restitution requirements, and authorize the IRS to engage in partisan activity. H.R. 1 would permit the IRS to investigate and consider the political and policy positions of nonprofit organizations before granting tax-exempt status, thus enabling the IRS officials to target organizations engaging in First Amendment activity with disfavored views. Folks, haven't we seen a weaponized IRS before? And here they're trying to enshrine this through H.R. 1 as well as this legislation. Oh, they call it, what do they call it, For the People Act? Folks, it's anything but. The Senate, on March 4th, this is from the Epoch Times, advanced President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief plan, with Vice President Kamala Harris providing the tie-breaking vote. All Republicans voted against beginning the debate on the plan, while all Democrats, including two independents, voted for. That left the decision up to Harris, the president of the upper chamber. She broke the tie vote. And following the vote, the Senate clerk began reading the legislation. Schumer tried to waive the reading, but Senator Ron Johnson objected, forcing a full reading of the 600-page measure began last night. I'm not sure if it's still going on or what. But there are many frustrated by this. But folks, when you consider this $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, it's anything but. Less than 10% of that relief package has to do with COVID. LifeNews.com, the Senate Finance Committee cast a tie vote this week on the nomination of abortion activist Javier Becerra to become the Secretary for Health and Human Services. It was a 14-14 vote, and so this Republicans against, Democrats for, and it's going to be going to the full Senate floor to bring the nomination out. The Senate will have to cast two votes to be approved, one to allow the nomination to come to the floor. The second is for the nomination itself. Many are focusing on Senator Joe Manchin out of West Virginia, who would be a swing vote. He says he's pro-life. I guess this vote will show that. And those of you listening in West Virginia will want to contact your U.S. senator in this regard. Becerra's stunning hostility to pro-life policies and groups includes, learn here from the Citizen or the Family Policy Alliance. Remember, Becerra is the one who sued Catholic nuns to impose pro-abortion policies. He responded also on a matter saying there's no First Amendment protection for religious institutions, which would include not only religious schools, but also churches. Okay, let's see. Last week, this is from LifeSciNews.com. Family Research Council released its annual report, The Real Planned Parenthood Leading the Culture of Death, a sobering look at America's largest abortion business. In the 2019 fiscal year, Planned Parenthood killed 354,871 babies. According to the FRC, Planned Parenthood received 38% of its funding from the U.S. government. The investigation journalist who exposed Planned Parenthood, David DeLeidens, is back in court again, continuing to appeal the $16 million verdict in favor of the abortion chain. On Monday, Center for Medical Progress announced its lawyers filed an appeal with the Ninth Circuit Court on behalf of DeLeiden and other investigators seeking to overturn the decision. LifeNews.com, on Friday last week, an overjoyed pro-abortion New Mexico Governor Grisham signed Senate Bill 10 into law, making New Mexico into a wide-open abortion-on-demand haven. A woman has a right to make decisions about her own body, Grisham added. Anyone who seeks to violate bodily integrity or to criminalize womanhood is in the business of dehumanization. A federal judge, LifeNews also reports, extended his block Wednesday on an Ohio law that protects unborn babies from abortion once their heartbeats are detectable. In his ruling, Judge Barrett temporarily extended his block on the law while postponing final ruling. He said he wants to wait and see how courts rule on a similar heartbeat law in Tennessee and another Ohio law that prohibits abortions on unborn babies with Down syndrome. Family Policy Alliance of Idaho celebrated the passage of the No Public Funds for Abortion Act in the Idaho House of Representatives. Let's see. New topic. DailyWire.com. Biden administration is repeatedly considering scheduling a controversial vote on a gun control bill in the next couple of weeks, cracking down on Americans' Second Amendment rights. The report said that the Democrats plan to push through as much legislation as they can over the next 2 weeks. Democrats may schedule another controversial vote. Legislation requiring so-called universal background checks on gun sales, H.R. 8. Another bill would close the so-called Charleston loophole that allows gun purchases to proceed if the background check is not completed in 3 business days. Both bills passed the House during the 116th Congress, only to be blocked by the Senate Republicans. Okay, let's see. The Daily Wire reporting a senior advisor to President Joe Biden says his administration is going to start acting now on reparations to African Americans, saying there's no time to wait for a commission to study the issue. By the way, did you know your 3-month-old might be racist? Your 3-month-old might be racist. Daily Wire reporting the bad news is that your 3-month-old precious bundle of joy might be a racist. On the upside, Arizona's Department of Education is offering an equality toolkit to help you tamp down their racism. Journalist Christopher Ruffo exposed the ideological equity toolkit within the department's diversity program that claims babies can develop signs of racism at just 3 months old and should be talked to about race even before they can talk. Well, the New York governor is in some hot water right now, and Daily Wire reporting that the city of New York Mayor Bill de Blasio told a radio show Monday morning that he wants a full investigation into sexual harassment allegations recently leveled against Governor Andrew Cuomo, and added that he was sickened by Cuomo's alleged abusive behavior while de Blasio claims to have witnessed. Matter of fact, there are what now 3 individuals that have come forth talking about sexual harassment or undesired advances by the governor toward them. Many voices that spoke out on the Kavanaugh hearing on this issue are silent at this point. I wonder why. Washington Times reporting a Northern California city has become what's believed to be the first in the country to ban all new gas stations in an effort to curb carbon emissions. Isn't this something? The Petaluma City Council voted unanimously Monday to prohibit the creation, expansion, reconstruction, and relocation of gas stations, encouraging owners to transition to stations that serve electric and hydrogen-powered vehicles, the San Francisco Chronicle reported. The city of 58,000 people, 40 miles north of San Francisco, hopes to become carbon neutral by the year 2030. Foreign nationals gathered in the United States-Mexico border this week, reports Breitbart, to demand that President Joe Biden's administration release them into the interior of the country, as they've done with thousands of other border crossers. March 2nd, about 100 foreign nationals from Mexico, Central America, Haiti, and Cuba protested near California and the Mexico border, Tijuana, where they requested the Biden administration allow them into the U.S. Matter of fact, they're all wearing T-shirts. Who printed these up? Biden, please let us in. Also, the number of border crossings now is 6 times what Obama team had considered to be a crisis at the border. According to officials under the Obama administration, a border crisis was when 1,000 attempted crossings a day. But folks, it has been jumped up to 6,000 per day. That's 6 times the crisis level during the Obama era. We'll be back with more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day today. I certainly want to get some more stories out before you here today to keep you informed on many issues going on. We're talking about the crisis going on at the border. Yeah, six times right now the attempted entries into the U.S. And, a tragic highway crash happened earlier this week as well. 25 illegal immigrants jammed into a single SUV, left over a dozen dead Tuesday. This was a highway crash, reports Fox News. The wreck involved an overloaded Ford Expedition, which normally seats eight, and a semi-truck near the U.S. border, Mexico border. The source says officials know the SUV's back seats had been removed to create more space for passengers. A number of deaths taking place. There are many who are seeking to get across this border, be a part of this amnesty issue that's going on. Also, from Daily Caller, the number of child migrants coming into the U.S. southern border quickly exceeding the federal government's ability to hold them. Internal documents from the Department of Health and Human Services are showing U.S. shelter system at 94% capacity, expected to be completely full here by the end of the month. Also, while this is going on, Fox Business is reporting that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, locked one of its Twitter accounts Tuesday, halting all public safety alerts on illegal migrants in the U.S. with criminal backgrounds. The account was used to post details about known fugitives, including their name, nationality, criminal history, U.S. jurisdiction where they were released. But it seems the Biden administration locked the ICE alerts because if you were to report the location on one of these dangerous aliens to ICE, it would become too obvious that these assaulters, drug dealers, thieves, and drunk drivers are now allowed to go free under Biden's policies, said former senior advisor to ICE John Fear, wrote on Twitter on Tuesday. Let's get to another issue here. LifeSiteNews.com. Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates, who famously stepped down from the board of his tech empire in March last year to become a full-time philanthropist, is focusing his efforts on his best investment he's ever made, vaccine financing and delivery. Although Gates claims that this is purely a local economic boom, reports indicate that his charity actually made more in investment returns in the health industry than it spent in the last 5 years. Of all the lucrative investments that Gates has backed throughout his career in technology, one of the most powerful economic performers have been his global health investments, specifically involving vaccine development and making vaccines readily available, especially to remote impoverished peoples. Gates' charity, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is behind vaccination programs worldwide, including the current global push for mass vaccination against COVID. Using the experimental mRNA-derived and abortion-tainted formulas, they report, which Gates admits no one has ever made before now, the foundation stands to profit enormously from the uptake of vaccines on a large scale in spite of the enormous health problems that have arisen thereof. He claimed in a Wall Street Journal op-ed in 2019 that his investment on vaccine rollout programs is making a 20-to-1 financial return, turning $10 billion of investment into $200 billion of economic benefits for local economies over the 20-plus years since first entering the health industry. Also, from LifeSiteNews.com, major COVID-19 vaccine maker Moderna posted a more than 13-fold increase in total revenues in 2020 compared to 2019. That was a report that came out on Thursday. Zero Hedge is reporting that the Los Angeles School District is launching a Microsoft-developed COVID tracking app for children, which allows students to schedule and view the results of COVID tests, post the results on off-campus COVID tests, and schedule vaccinations. According to promotional video, the real magic is your daily health check, where students answering questions about whether they have any symptoms, after which the Daily Pass app will issue the child a scannable QR code to be scanned by a staff member who will also take the child's temperature. New Yorkers, here's the New York Post. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced Tuesday the rollout of the new pilot program in which New Yorkers will have to flash a sort of COVID-19 passport in order to enter sports arenas, theaters, and other businesses as the state continues reopening efforts. The plan is to test the Excelsior Pass, which will be using secure technology to confirm if a person has gotten vaccinated or has had a recent negative COVID-19 exam result during events at Madison Square Garden and other venues as well. Pass was tested out Tuesday night at the New York Rangers game at Madison Square. Similar to an airline boarding pass, people will be able to print out their pass, save it on their phones using this Excelsior Passes wallet app. Each pass will have a secure QR code, which venues will scan using a companion app to confirm a person's health status. Interesting indeed. This is interesting from LifeSiteNews.com. In a Dutch nursing home, two-thirds of residents tested positive for COVID after the vaccination. January 30th, the 106 residents of the St. Elizabeth Nursing Home for Elderly People received the first shot of COVID-19 experimental vaccine within 2 weeks. And for the first time since the pandemic began, the Wuhan virus made its way through the home at high speed. No less than 70 residents tested positive. By Monday, 22 had died. Some of the residents had recovered, but others still sick, meaning that even more deaths may occur during this wave. St. Elizabeth has registered the highest number of SARS-CoV-2 contamination in a nursing home in the Netherlands since the beginning of the crisis. Let's see. Townhall.com. The House on Wednesday passed the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act in a party-line vote, a sweeping police reform bill that critics say will defund the police. Matter of fact, there's unfunded mandates in this H.R. 1280 that would cost police departments hundreds of millions of dollars. They indicate that that's the equivalent of taking 3,000 cops or more off the street. Let's open some phone lines today. If you would like to make your comment on some of these news issues today, our phone number is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. By the way, the White House is imposing a COVID-19 testing fee on reporters in the latest step limiting press access, reports the New York Post. The White House is imposing a new $170 COVID-19 testing fee on reporters who want to access the West Wing, in which critics say is the latest step that constrains press coverage of President Biden. Can you imagine if President Trump had done this? Former President Trump, this is Newsmax.com. Former President Trump says he was concerned days before the January 6th riot at the Capitol about the size of the crowd expected near the Capitol. He requested 10,000 National Guard troops to be deployed. His request was rejected because House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other leaders did not like the optics. President Trump gave the number to the Department of Defense that 10,000 members of the National Guard would be needed. They took that number, from what I understand. They gave it to the people at the Capitol that's controlled by Pelosi, and I heard they rejected it because they didn't think it would look good. Now look at the fences at the Capitol. Remember the National Guardmen and guardsmen in the, sitting in the parking garage, sleeping on concrete floor? Incidentally, Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died only a few hours after the riot in the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. For weeks, media outlets proclaimed that he was struck in the head with a fire extinguisher in the hands of supporters of President Trump. Well, evidence shows he wasn't. But how did he die? Well, it still remains a secret, according to the FBI Chief Christopher Wray. WND.com has this story. He told a congressional hearing this week that there's an ongoing investigation into his death. I have to be careful at this stage because it's ongoing, not to get out in front of it. Folks, this is 2 months ago. 2 months ago. I need to also just make you aware that New Hampshire is confiscating voting machines that shorted Republicans by 6% of votes, reports LifeSiteNews.com. The Attorney General's office moving to confiscate voting machines that were found to have shortened Republican candidates by 6% of the votes in the 2020 election. Also, four have been arrested in Texas on 150 counts of vote fraud. This is a South Texas County Justice of the Peace was among four people arrested last month on 150 counts of voter fraud pertaining to the 2018 primary election. Also, we have a judge in Mississippi ordering a brand new runoff election for a local election in Aberdeen, Mississippi. More than three quarters of absentee ballots cast in the June Democratic runoff election were found to be invalid while a notary involved in the election was arrested. And let's go to New Jersey. New Jersey City Councilmen were indicted on mail-in voting fraud charges as well. Who says there was no fraud going on? Let's go to the phone lines. They are packed. Kevin is calling from South Dakota. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Just calling in and listening to your program as we see the constant bombardment of the news and even in your program. Just as a brother and sisters around the world have faced much of this long before the United States has, but it's so easy to get discouraged, divided, conquered, and yet in confession, I am a follower, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And so there is what God is calling us out to do, I believe, is that confession, that proclamation, as the time is continuing to come closer to the last days of the last days. I guess, you know, I'm just saying, trying to encourage, keep looking up, praying up, because there that time is coming. And thank you, Jim, for your program. And through your program, you give us hope and truth and light and God's word. It's one thing to talk about God. It's another to share and promote him and proclaim him. And so as we listen to your program today, like I said, it gets pretty easy to be feeling overwhelmed and overcome, but we still have the same hope and the same Savior that the first Christian felt when they were Nero's lawn torches. And as I understand, they broke out in praise as the flames were lit at their feet. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Kevin. And yeah, thank you for the call. And I so recall the scripture that says, you know, in this world you shall have tribulation. It doesn't stop there. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that echoes what Alex Newman said yesterday. It's not a time to be fearful, but it's certainly a time for us to be engaged. We need to share the gospel. As Alex said, we need to get in God's word. We need to read it. We need to live it. Let's go to Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you, Mr. James. I just have two quick comments about the hypocrisy of the progressive left. They're so into illegals crossing our borders at this very critical time, so they say, with no masks, no shots, and carrying infectious disease. I talked to a nurse, an RN. She said, Charlie, every time I go in a room where there's a possible infection, I have to undress and regown so I don't spread any infection. She said, why are these people lined up 200 and 300 cars at a time, and people are in there taking samples, supposedly? None of them regown. I find that very interesting. Thank you for your show, Jim.
Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. And yes, the number of COVID positives that are coming across the border, I don't have the number before me right now. I saw it in some stories earlier today, but it's shocking. George, in Olney, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Last night, I thought I went to bed being in the United States of America, but this morning I woke up finding out that I'm in a satellite nation of communist China. Mm. I guess that means we should start praying for the president of China. He is our leader.
Okay, thank you, George, for your comment there. And certainly there's a lot of capitulation going on toward China right now, but the socialistic policies, and again, this is another topic that Alex bore out yesterday. The China is, there's a flip that's going on in this world. And whereas the U.S. is in that process of being removed from that position of being the world's leader, with China that is climbing ever closer to the top. So thanks for your comments here. We'll be back after a minute. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Perhaps one of the greatest schemes coming globally is the carbon tax or carbon credit. The idea is you need to be taxed for simply being alive. for simply breathing, putting out carbon dioxide. Then you add the fact that you actually drive a car, heat your home, or use an air conditioner. One study shows that the average home, the average household in America, puts out 48 tons of carbon dioxide. That means you need to be taxed at least $51 a ton, according to the new Biden administration. That would be a tax on the average American family of almost $2,500. Are you ready for an additional $2,500 in taxes? Or how about this? The real target price, they say some, is $400 per ton. Are you ready for a tax bill of over $19,000? Well, get ready, because they're going to start forcing you to buy carbon offsets, paying a tax credit. This is a complete global scam.
News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk. You know, we kept hearing about this armed insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Well, Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, asked whether firearms were recovered or if any suspect was charged with firearms offenses. The FBI counterterrorism official Jill Sanborn responded, to my knowledge, none. None. So he says, how can we call this an armed insurrection? Meanwhile, PJ Media points out that under the Biden administration, federal officials are dismissing dozens of charges against Portland rioters. Back to the phone lines. Christine is calling from Hillsboro, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
I'm calling with regard to Governor Cuomo, and I urge you not to be distracted in a way by the sexual harassment charges, and to not lose sight of the fact that he and his office manipulated and understated data regarding nursing home deaths due to COVID in his state. And it's because of his policy of sending the positive patients back to the nursing home.
Yes.
And, you know, this was months-long effort of he and his office to obscure the full scope of his culpability.
I totally agree with you, Christine, and I believe it was last Friday's News Roundup we had a lot of that information on that very issue. But the cover-up that was going on, and they were fearful that that there might be opposition from the Trump administration and being exposed for that, but that is very egregious.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for
your
the
coverage.
Call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ann next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a comment. Last week, me and my grandson, who's 8, were watching an older movie of the Bible. The movie was just a brief, you know, survey of the Bible. And the part came on in chapter 19 of Genesis with Sodom and Gomorrah, and the people of the town pressing against the door to get at the two angels. And it really was very, very, very frightening. I had to turn it off for my grandson because he's too young, but the thought of that, and it is, you know, it's happening. I mean, whether people want to realize it or not, it's happening. And I wonder how long, where it says in verse 24, where the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. I wonder how long the Lord can possibly allow this to keep happening, because it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And each day I turn the news on and I hear more and more and more rights that they want, and at the expense of our children. Yeah. So I just urge everybody to pray for this, because prayer, God answers prayer.
Thank you, Ann. I totally agree with that. Lisa in Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I have a question. I contacted my senators and told them that I wasn't for the Equality Act.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question, because I got a response from one, and it was they were just praising the act and saying how it was necessary. If it passes the Senate, do we have any recourse?
Well, the recourse would then go to the courts, and what the ruling is going to be there is unknown. I mean, I believe it was Justice Kavanaugh who expanded even sex in a to mean sexual orientation, gender identity in another decision. That was done there, but it will go to the courts at that point, and it will be just a matter of time before it gets up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and keep in mind, this really is to have a vote in the Senate that is filibuster proof, meaning that if they do it as per the rules of the Senate, it should require 60 votes, not 50 plus one.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. So again, your senator's at 202-224-3121. We have Dennis calling from Aquantico. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just, I had a question pertaining to those crossing the border. They're most likely going to be Christian people or Catholic. I've just kind of been struggling with the morality of that whole issue, and I kind of want your wisdom on that.
Okay. Oh, thank you for the call. We, matter of fact, we did, and I'll see if I can quickly find it here if I can. We did a full program, and we're going to have 2 minutes now at this time, but a full program dealing with the very topic of the border issue and the Christian response to that issue. A nation does have laws, as we see that even in the book of Acts, where it says not only are we of one blood, as Scripture talks, but in Acts 17:26, he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We did conduct an interview with Sam Rohr from American Pastors Network, and we looked at this from a biblical perspective. And I am just checking here to see if I can find the date. And I'm not finding it quickly, but if you go to crosstalkamerica.com, we did a full program on that very issue that we went into a full biblical review of that matter of immigration and the church's response to it as well. So it'd be crosstalkamerica.com. You can put in Sam Rohr, and we had a program on that very topic. Let us go back to, let's see, line number four. We have Brenda in Nashville. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much. I am spending less and less of my dollars in Walmart. They have children's clothes, sir, with rainbows on the little dresses. And it's not because of the little pastel colors. It's infiltrating these children's minds. Some of the little dresses are full sequined to where they look like little harlots. And I just want to say, and I'm out of here, the scripture that says, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Hmm. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. Dave is calling from Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to comment. Thank you for taking the call. But I just want to comment on the part of the Border Patrol. I mean, if they want a letter by in the border saying, you know, I think we should go ahead and invite North Korean troops to the borders, it's a lot easier for them to speak Spanish than for them to speak English. Mm-hmm. And you can pull in, they, you know, if you look at their genetics, they almost look like they can blend in very well with the Mexican population. And it'd be so easy. And as of right now, if they're taking away Border Patrol agents from the northern borders, we can have a good military invasion. So I wouldn't worry about all this stuff that's going on because, you know, there's a time and place in life when you have to say, okay, God, it's time for judgment. And it's time for judgment. And
okay. Thank you. We're out of time here for your call. And folks, yeah, it is a time of judgments. And some would argue that we are being judged right now. But friends, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Lord. As Alex said yesterday, get in God's Word, the Bible. Let's not only know it, but live it and show it. And let's be salt. Let's be light. The Lord's Day is coming on Sunday. Trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.